spaghetti, and that means that there's one piece of spaghetti that just absolutely loops through everything. She can think of everything at one time. She's got her mind on. All of a sudden, she'll say something going down the road, and I wondered how that all played out, how that got to the point where we were at, because she's a string of spaghetti that's woven through every thought of her day and every thought of her family and every thought of what's going on, and she can think about those all those at one time. I'm more of a waffle. I've got square at a time. You know, one square, I have trouble chewing gum and walking at the same time. I have one square at a time. I can operate fairly well inside of the square, and I can go from one square to another, perhaps, kind of like syrup, but I'm definitely square. I'm definitely thinking about one thing at a time. And when I get to working, I have work on my mind. I don't have other things on my mind. You know, when somebody would come home from work, and Cheryl said, that even if we, did you think about me today? No, I didn't. I'm sorry. Maybe I should have, but the square I was in didn't allow me to think about anything else other than work. And I still do that today. When I get into the work square, I work. That's what I do. And I get my mind set on something, whether it's a task in my garage or whether it's in the yard or whether it's in the office. I get my mind set on something and I'm there. That I'm just stuck in that square. And I don't think about other things from outside of that square. Well, this past week I found myself in working conditions, non-air conditioned working conditions. And I remembered years and years and years where I've always worked outside, and it was hot. It was 90 degrees. It was humid. And I was sweating. And I have no problem sweating. That's just my natural body cools itself. I guess that's what it's for. I don't know why it stinks so much. You know what I mean? If my air conditioner doesn't smell like that in the house, we wouldn't have air conditioning. But it's that natural cooling, right, for your body. And so I was sweating and sweating and sweating, and I was sweating a lot. And I was working hard, and I was in the square, and I was doing what I needed to do. And all of a sudden, I got asked the question, have you drank anything today? And I said, well, when I got up this morning, I had coffee. You know, it's noon, and I haven't had anything that I wasn't thinking about then. And so they brought me a bottle of water and said, you're going to get dehydrated. Probably already was there. So I started to think about being dehydrated, and I don't think about anything else. I'm just stuck in my job or just stuck in the task, and I'm not thinking about staying hydrated. But the dehydration can be very dangerous in our lives. Dehydration happens when our body is not consuming enough of what's being expended. If our body is not consuming enough water and the water is leaving, all of a sudden we become dehydrated. The statistics say that 75% of all Americans are chronically dehydrated. We don't drink enough water. Thirst, when we are thirsty, it tells me that you're already dehydrated. Your system has kicked in. Your system has kicked in and said you need to drink something. It's kind of like the alarm. It's like the smoke detector in your house. When it detects smoke, it goes off. And when your body detects thirst or dehydration, it kicks in the thirst. And it's this alarm system that you're dehydrated. You need to take care of that. The symptoms of dehydration can be inconvenient to deadly, really. The symptoms of dehydration are muscle fatigue and reduced cognitive processing. You can't even think straight when you are dehydrated, and your muscles get weak and your muscles will get crampy. That's one of my problems. I get cramps in my muscles because I have been dehydrated. Dizziness is one of those things, and confusion or a dazed state of awareness. Headaches and a dry mouth and easily irritated. If you're easily irritated, it could be a symptom of you got a bad attitude. I get that. But it could be a symptom that you are dehydrated. Dehydration is nothing to laugh at. Dehydration can be deadly. Our body needs that. Our body needs the hydration. Dehydration definitely causes one to experience extreme limitations. And so we're extremely limited, experiencing limitations when we're dehydrated. We need to stay hydrated so that our bodies can function at the highest level possible. And I find it interesting that the cure for dehydration is hydration. It's not like I got to run a mile. You know, I'm going to lose 10 pounds or 20 pounds. I got to watch my diet. I got to exercise. I got to do this and that. To stay hydrated, you simply have to drink water. And we don't think about that perhaps like you get stuck in a square and you're not thinking about staying hydrated. And all of a sudden, you start to get the symptoms of dehydration. The number one way to solve dehydration is to stay hydrated. I believe the same is true in the spiritual world. I believe the same is true for our souls. That our souls become dehydrated. And our souls will start to experience this great limitation. And our souls will, as believers, we get this dehydration going on in our lives. And perhaps some of the symptoms of physical dehydration are the same symptoms of spiritual hydration. Maybe you get muscle fatigue and your spiritual muscle just isn't there because you're dehydrated. Because your soul is dehydrated. And you need to be hydrated. You need to have something in there to strengthen, to nourish your body. You have reduced cognitive processing. I can't even think straight because my soul is dehydrated. And dizziness and confusion are a day state of awareness. A headache, a dry mouth, easily irritated. And perhaps it's because our soul is dehydrated. We need to stay hydrated in our physical bodies, and we need to stay hydrated in our soul as well. And so I know it's simple to get a bottle of water, but it passes me by so quickly. The day does, the week does, the task that I'm in, the square that I'm in passes me by for hours and hours and hours, and I don't even think about anything else other than what's before me. And I don't think about the repercussions of later on experiencing the symptoms of dehydration. The same is true in my soul. I could go for extended periods of time and not have my soul hydrated until I come to a point in life and I start to see the symptoms of having a dehydrated soul. We need to stay hydrated in our soul. Jesus says, and when he was in the wilderness, he says that when the enemy is tempting him, Jesus said, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." He said, man needs to be hydrated physically. That's where I'm going to go with that verse. You need to be hydrated, but you don't just live by that alone. Life is more than just staying physically hydrated. Life is being hydrated by the word, every word that comes from the Lord. Every word that comes from God. So this morning I want to hydrate us. And I want you to go with me as we open up some bottles of water, so to speak, for our souls this morning, the Word of God this morning. And I just want you to just drink it in this morning. I got a 10-pack this morning. And I just want to open them up, and I just want to pour them out for us. And I want our souls to hear and be hydrated this morning and strengthened in the Word of the Lord. That the Word of God is going to go free here. The Word of God is going to be spoken. The Word, the very words of God. Not just the Bible. But the Bible contains the very words of God. No wonder that it's living and active. No wonder it's sharper than a double-edged sword. No wonder it's powerful. Because it's still being spoken by God. And he said, I can hydrate your soul. I can bring you to a heightened level in your life. I can give you life. But you got to let me hydrate your soul. You got to come to the cooler. You got to open the water. You got to drink the water. It's not rocket science to stay physically hydrated. And nor is it for staying spiritually hydrated. We need to be men and women of the Word of God. We've talked about some powerful things in the last few weeks. But if we're going to go around hydrated, those things that we've talked about in the past few weeks, we're not going to have the energy to do them. We're not going to have the energy to stand strong. We're not going to have that energy, the wherewithal, if we're dehydrated. You can't just drink on Sundays. You have to have a continued diet of hydration for our spirit. And this morning, I just want to open up this 10-pack and just start to set it free and pour it out of us this morning. And pour it out of us and let us start to run into our souls. Just listen to some of the things that God is saying to you and to me. He's saying this to you this morning in the middle of East Freedom. And June 14th, 2020, he's saying this to you. This is God saying this to you and to me. He wants you to be hydrated this morning. Look what he says in 2 Samuel 22, 33 and 34. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on new heights. God says, I'm doing that right now in your life. Are you hearing me? Let that sift into your soul. Let that pour into your soul. Yeah, I'm arming you with strength right at this very moment. Do you feel it in your soul? I'm doing that. Listen to my words. Let them get down there deep that I'm doing something in your life right now. I'm arming you with strength this morning. I'm making your way complete. I'm not wasting a step of your life. I'm not wasting anything of your life. No step is being wasted in your life at this very moment. I've got you. I've got the way. Your way is complete. I'm arming you with strength. And when I hear stuff like that, and I start to hear God say that stuff to me, not just reading a Bible verse, but hearing God speak that stuff to me, it starts to do something in my soul. It starts to hydrate my soul. It starts to get rid of the soul cramps that I have. It starts to get rid of the trouble thinking straight and the irritability that I may have. It starts to do something to know that God's doing that for us this morning. He did that for David 900 BC, 3,000 years ago. 3,000 years ago, he did that for a man. And he's done that thousands and tens of thousands of times throughout all of history. And this morning, he's doing it again and again and again. I'm arming you, he says. I'm arming you with strength, and I'm making your way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on new heights. He's taking you to a new height this morning. He's lifting you up this morning. He's not just hydrating you so you can coast along. He's taking you to a new height. I'm arming you this morning, he said. I'm making your way. I'm not wasting any steps of your life. I'm not wasting any steps. So I've changed my attitude. When I hear verses like that, all of a sudden, when I experience a hardship in my life, I'm not saying why as much as I'm saying where, God? Where are you taking me? Because you're not wasting any of these steps in my life. You're not wasting one, so I'm not going to necessarily ask you why. I'm saying, where are we going, God? Because you're making my way perfect. Where are we going, God? Why? Because I'm taking you to a new height. Where am I going? I'm not going to get stuck on the whys of life. I want more of the where is it taking me, God? And God said, I'm doing that to you right now. Let me nourish your soul with that right now. Let me tell you right now, I'm taking you to new heights. I'm moving you in a new direction or a heightened direction. I've got a plan for you. I am not wasting your steps. And that's only one of the 10 packs, so I need to get moving here this morning. Nehemiah, the prophet Nehemiah, thousands of years ago. And God said, tell him this. Tell them this, Nehemiah. Go tell them this. Go tell the nation of Israel this. Go tell them this, Nehemiah. The word of the Lord came to Nehemiah. And he said, you need to go tell them because I'm going to do this in their life. They got to know this about me. Their souls are dried up. Their souls need to be hydrated. I need them to know this. And so Nehemiah took this message. The Lord is good. Can you imagine just going through town? You just got to know it. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Just Just riding through Paul Revere type stuff. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And he said, go tell him that I'm good. Go tell him that I'm without flaw. Go tell him that I am good. And then maybe then listen. He says, and a refuge in time of trouble. You got to tell him that I'm good. And you got to tell him that I'm a refuge in the time of trouble. Whether you're in it now or you're going to be in it, you got to know that God is good. The Lord is good. Yahweh is good. And he is leading us, and he is our refuge in the times of trouble. He cares for, and also some translation says, knows. I love that. He knows and cares for those who trust in him. Some just say it, he cares for those who trust in him. Some translations would say, he knows those who trust in him. Well, he knows intimately, he knows you. And if he knows you, he can care for you. You got to know before you can care. You got to intimately know the details of somebody's life. I can remember, and I shared it before, the first time that we brought Bethany home from the hospital, she weighed 4 pounds and 8 ounces. And I could face any 1,500, 1,800-pound bull you want to put a halter on. I would get him on the truck. A 4-pound, 8-ounce child, I did not know. And I had trouble caring for her. Because I didn't know, intimately know what she needed. God says, listen, I know you. And I know what you need, and I'll care for you. You got to know that I'm good. Nehemiah and Nahum, tell them that I'm good. Tell them that I'm a refuge in the time of trouble. And tell them I know. I know them. And tell them that I care for them. That I'm just not knowing what's their situation, but I'm breathing into them right now with care into their lives. Let that rehydrate your soul this morning. Number 2 of a 10-pack opened up. Set it free among us. In Job 19:25-27, I know that my Redeemer lives. This, you know when this is? This is in Genesis time. This is perhaps maybe 10,000 years ago. 10,000 years ago, and Job is having a situation in his life, and he comes out of this time, and he says, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand upon the earth. I know that he will stand upon the earth. I know 10,000 years ago, Job knew that his Redeemer lived. And then one day he would bring ultimate victory to everything that's going on in this world. He said, I know that. I know my Redeemer lives. And I know one time that Jesus will come back. I know that he'll stand upon this earth. I have that confidence that God's got the end. The book of Revelation, if you want to know what that's all about, there's a big war. God wins. Be on God's team. Because he wins. And Job knew that. Job knew that in the end that Jesus would stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet, look at the in the scripture, yet in my flesh I will see God. Yet, I know in the end God's got it. I know in the end my Redeemer lives and he will win in the end. Yet in my flesh I will see God. I'm going to see him here and now. He's not waiting for me to arrive to heaven to work in my life. He's working at this very, very, very moment in my life. And this has come to my heart, and someone said it, it just really caught into my soul. God's not waiting to do anything. God's doing everything right now that he wants to do. God is not waiting to work. God is working. And Job knew that one day, but he wasn't just waiting for that one day. He had hope in that one day when his Redeemer would step on this earth again. Yet in my flesh, I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. Can you imagine that this guy in the middle of the greatest trial of his life, and he knows that in the end it'll be straightened out, but he knows I'm going to see God with my eyes in the flesh. I'm going to see him. Man, that fires me up. In my flesh, I will see God. God's doing it right now. He's working in your life right now. He's moving you to new heights right now. He's meeting you right now. He's good right now. He's your refuge right now. He knows you right now. He cares. He's bringing care to your life right now. Right now, he's doing it. He's doing it right this very moment in your life. He's dumping it into you right this very moment. John 11 says this. What's this? 6 through the 4 through the 6th den pack. John 11, 44, look what he says. And this is, Jesus has just got done coming and interacting with Mary and Martha. And Lazarus has died 4 days earlier, and they put him in the tomb. And Jesus shows up in Bethany, and Jesus shows up in the town of Bethany where Mary and Martha and Lazarus had lived. And Mary and Martha had met Jesus on the road coming in. And Mary and Martha were distraught because Lazarus had passed away. And they said to Jesus, if you'd only would have been here, you could have done something. But it's too late now. And Jesus spoke at the tomb. We know the story. He told, roll the stone away. And he says, Lazarus, go forth. The dead man came out in verse 44. The dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and the cloth around his with a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, people on the earth, people that knew Lazarus, people that were in a relationship with Lazarus, people that were there watching what Jesus was doing in Lazarus' life, watching this all happen in this guy's life, take off the grave cloth and let him go. I don't know what you're up against, but you got to know one thing. God's sending people to you right now. And he's ready to speak life into you. And when you speak in, he speaks life into you. And you stand up. Watch out, because he's sending the crew in. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to wonder if you can do it on your own. He's sending the crew in. Lazarus was there. He was alive. He was had life, but he still had the burial cloth on him. And Jesus sent people to him. I watch it every day in our midst. I watch you being sent in by God through Facebook posts, through texts, through phone calls, through visits. I watch you get sent into people's lives. God said, I'm doing that in your life right now because I know and I care, because I'm a refuge, because I'm good. I'm sending people. I got people. He told Paul at one case, don't be afraid to go into the city. Because I got people. God's got people. And he said, I'm sending them into your life. I don't know what you're up against right now. But watch out. God's sending people into your life right now. Be sure. Don't kick them away. Let that sift into our hearts this morning. God is setting you free. And God is taking you to a new height. And God is your refuge. And God's sending people into your life right now to help you undo what this world has done to you, to take the death off of you, to give you a spiritual shower, so to speak. God's doing it in our lives right now. He said, I'm active in your life right now. And one day, every knee will bow, and one day every tongue will confess, and one day the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and one day and time will be no more, and one day it'll all be over, and one day I will set everything straight, and one day I will rule, and you won't need a sun, because Jesus' presence will be brighter than the sun. But right now I'm in your life. Right now I'm working in your life, and I'm sending people in there too. What does that do to our souls this morning? It nourishes my soul when I hear that, when I know and I experience that, and I get that text from someone who says, I'm just thinking about you today. Are you okay? Or I'm getting that text and said, God has shared this verse with me, and I want to share it with you. There's just something going on. I just feel compelled to share it with you. That's, you know what that is? That's people at the tomb of Lazarus being sent in by God. Let me open the next bottle of water here, this spiritual water. In Colossians 3, 11 and 12, there is no Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all, and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Jesus said, you got to know one thing, Jewish lives matter. Greek lives matter. You got to know one thing, that circumcised lives matter. Those in the covenant lives matter. You got to know that those ones that are lost, their lives matter. The uncircumcised. You got to know that the barbarians, their lives matter. You got to know that the Scythians, their lives matter. You got to know that those who are in bondage to addiction or bondage to something in their life, they matter. And you got to know that the free lives matter. You got to know this morning that your life matters. Your life matters. You're holy and chosen by God. You're chosen and holy and loved by God. You are chosen and holy and loved by God. Jesus says, in my camp, there is no Jew and Greek. In my camp, there is no slave and free. In my camp, there is no Scythian or barbarian. In my camp, they are my children, and your lives matter. You are chosen, and you are loved, and you are holy. Therefore, clothe yourself. Go to the cupboard. He said, go to the closet. I've got attire for you that you don't think you can wear. It fits you. Because I know your size. Because I care. Because I'm your refuge. Because I'm your strength. Because I'm moving you to new heights. Because I am God and I am good. And I'm here to nourish your soul. Because you got soul cramps. Because you don't have clear thinking. Because you're dazed, you got to know that I'm working in your life and I'm doing it right this very moment. So clothe yourself with this compassion. Clothe yourself with this kindness. Clothe yourself with humility. Clothe yourself with gentleness and clothe yourself with patience. Let me just move to the next one. We'll open it up. Psalm 25, 7 and 8. And listen, I could have chose thousands of verses. There's 31,104 verses in the Bible. 31,104 verses in the Bible. We've got 10 today. 10 passages of Scripture today where God says, I want to nourish you. I want to lift you up. I want to hydrate you today. Will you let me hydrate you today? Listen, Psalm 25 says this, remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. Aren't you glad that you get to say that to God? God, don't remember who I was. Don't remember what I've done in the past. Don't remember my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. I love that passage of Scripture because so often this world wants to remember what we've done rather than who we are. And the psalmist is making a cry to God. David is making a cry to God. Don't remember my rebellious ways. Don't remember my sin. Remember me, God. Just me. And so often I think I see God looking at my sin and my downfalls and my iniquities and my trespasses when in reality God's looking at me. He's looking at you this morning. He's doing it right now. God's looking at you this very day. This very moment, his eyes are on you. He sees you. He's not seeing your failures. He's not seeing your successes. He's not seeing your rebellious ways. He's not seeing your mess up. He's seeing you. He's seeing you this morning. And you are special to him. He has chose you. He loves you. He has made you holy because he is good. Because he wants to be our refuge. Because he wants to move us to new heights. And he wants to do it in the here and the now. He does not remember my sin, but he forgives them. But he does remember me. I find great comfort in that truth of the last statement of this verse. Look what it says. For you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. I tell you what, that does something for my soul to realize I don't have to have it all together before God will bring me some direction in my life. So sometimes I get the feeling, well, I got to get it right, then God will notice me. I got to be something, and then God will notice me. I got to try, because God helps those who help themselves, which is not a verse in the Bible. Because if that was true, we would all be lost, because nobody can help themselves. God says, well, you're a sinner. I direct your path, because I'm looking at you. You are special to me. I know you're messed up. I know you're jacked up. I know your thoughts. I know you. But I see you. And I will instruct you no matter what. You don't have to earn my instruction. You don't have to earn my care. You don't have to earn my direction. You just respond to it because I love you. Because I want to take you to new heights. Because I want to be your refuge. Because I want you to know that I know you and I care for you. I want you to know that I'm seeing you in the land of the living. In your flesh, I see you in the flesh. One day you and I will both be together. But right now I see you in your flesh. I know what's going on in your life. And I know you and I love you. Will you stop thinking I'm only looking at your actions? I'm looking at you. I don't know about you, but passages of scripture like this really nourish my soul, really hydrate my soul this morning, and really hydrate throughout the week as I pondered on these thoughts. But so often I get in a square and I don't nourish myself or be nourished by the words of God. When I just need those words, and I get so busy that I forget to drink a bottle of water, and I get so busy that I just can't ponder the word of God and just can't listen to what God is saying. Just simply, I see you. Matthew 10, 7 and 8 is another passage of scripture that just jumped off the page of me this week. As you go, he's talking to those that have been following him, his disciples, his followers. As you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. I just love that too, that the kingdom, the gospel is here now. The gospel is real. The gospel is in your hands today, disciples. Look what he says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. I'm like, God, I want that. I want to take this gospel, and I want to have healing in my hands, and I want to have the casting out, the driving out of demons. And then he says this, freely you have received, freely give. I love that part. God said, I'm giving this to you. It's in your hands today. It's in your hands today. The gospel's in your hands. And just what? It never is going to run out. You can share it with 1,000 people a day. It won't run out. And when I lead you, and when I tell you, and I want you to lay hands on somebody, and I want you to do spiritual warfare, I want you to do it. You won't run out. You don't. It's not like your car on gas. Because I'm giving it to you freely, you have been given this. The water is free, he said. You didn't pay for that water. You didn't pay for the ice. It's not your cooler, but you have access to the water. I've given it to you, he said. Freely I've given it to you. Will you just give it out? No matter what I want to do, maybe I want to put healing in your hand. Maybe I want to put the ability to drive out demons in your hand. And maybe I'm putting the gospel in your hand at this very moment. You've received it freely. Give it out freely. I love that part. Isn't it? You got nothing invested in it. God said, I did it all, but I give it to you. Look what he says in Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are honeycomb, are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Do you know the healing power of your words? God said, man, I've given you the ability to speak. And when you speak, the soul can be healed in another person. Can you imagine that? That your very words can heal someone else's soul. The power of your words. God says, I have put power in your words. And you can bring death, sure. But you can heal someone's soul. Because you have the ability to speak. Your words are like a honeycomb. Your words are so sweet. Your words are sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. They go down into the core. So often in my life, somebody will say, what are the last words someone said to you? And so often, automatically, the negative words come to my mind. The times when I've been belittled or the times I've been put down. Wouldn't it be cool if we all had these honeycomb of words that somebody else has spoken into our life? That's healed our soul and brought healing to our bones. You have that power. Let me open up the last two bottles and pour them out here on us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind and release the oppressed and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And I know I could preach on that passage of Scripture for another hour, but all I want to do is highlight this point. The anointing is on you. Because Jesus is talking about himself, and when he goes to heaven, he ascends into heaven, he gives that to you and to me. And he said, wait here when the Spirit comes upon you. He will give you power. He will anoint you. The anointing this morning is on you. The anointing is on us. God said, I'm anointing you. I've chosen you. I've empowered you. I've healed you. I am good. I want to take you to new heights. I want to do it in the here and the now. This is good stuff, new life. God said, I'm nourishing you. Let me finish this morning with the last passage of Scripture, just so we can know. Listen to what he says. Look at Paul tells the church of Rome. No. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Because I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any other power, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Woo! That is sweet. That is sweet. He said, I'm telling you what, you don't know what you're going to face tomorrow, but I'm telling you one thing. It doesn't have the power to separate you from your Jesus. You don't know what this world's going to end up. You don't know what's going to come into this marketplace. You don't know what's going to come into this country. But I'm telling you one thing right now. It won't separate you from my love. I don't know if you're going to end up with cancer. I don't know if you're going to end up experiencing the greatest time of your life. I don't know if you're going to end up being put in prison. I don't know where we're, but one thing I do know, that we're not going to be separated from the love of Jesus. Jesus says, I love you, and nothing can take you out of my hands. Nothing. There's a 10-pack this morning. which sells for cheaper than the 10-pack down the street. Because it's already paid for. And he said, I just want to nourish your soul. I just want to hydrate your soul this morning. Will you let me? Will you let me give you that certainty that I'm a good, good God? I'm working in your life at this very, very moment. And nothing can separate you from me. That means nothing can stop me from working in your life. I know you don't have it all together. I'll instruct sinners. Because I see you. I don't see what you've done. I see you. New life. May our souls be nourished today. May our souls be hydrated today. And please, go to the cooler. Don't get so busy in your square that you forget to go to the cooler throughout this week and drink. And drink. And drink. And let God hydrate your soul. And watch what He does in your life. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy that you've poured out on us. Thank you for this truth that's in your word. Just a minute fraction of the 31,104 things that you tell us, verses that you tell us in the Bible, the very words of God. I pray that as you rehydrate us through the word, and Jesus, you knew that when you were in the desert. Say, listen, I'm not falling for that. Because man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of God's mouth. So, Father, may we find that to be true in our lives. That we will live by every word of the Lord. Father, thank you for this moment. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for the very words of God. And God, I got to say it again. Thank you for seeing me and not what I've done. Thank you for knowing me. And thank you for caring for me. Thank you for being a good God. Father, I'm going to say amen in just a few seconds. And that just means let it be, God. But I want to go out of here today nourished. And go out of here today with a commitment to open the cooler throughout this week. And Father, as always, I want to pray for every vehicle that's driven past this, on this road ahead of us. That you would draw the lost to yourself. And you would find a people that's ready to be sent to the tombs. To be a part of setting people free from what you have done in their life. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. New life. Have an amazing day.